In 1988, in South Korea, Ben Johnson of Canada, this is the man. He won the gold medal in the 100 meter dash. Everybody thought that Carl Lewis, here he is, look at his facial expression, he's like, I cannot believe you won that thing. Everybody thought that Carl Lewis would be the gold medalist. But Ben Johnson made 9.79 and he won the gold medal. After the race, judges learned that Ben Johnson had an illegal substance in his body. Consequently, he lost gold medal. Though he ran faster and made an unforgettable impression, he didn't deserve the reward. All that effort, all that preparation for four years, for this short time, 9 under 10 seconds, all went down the drain because he didn't finish the race well. This morning, we are going to learn about a couple of good godly kings, Amaziah and Azariah. And they started well, but they did not finish well. Many of you remember what I said before. A good start does not guarantee good ending. A good start does not guarantee good ending, good finish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you for the salvation you provide for us. We rejoice in your mercy that renews every morning. We rejoice in your grace that has no boundary. We rejoice in your power that can conquer anything and all things. And most of all, we rejoice in your love that accepts the sinners like us. You're not a God that cannot see, cannot hear, cannot touch, like those idols. But you are the God of the universe. You alone are holy and righteous. And you alone are powerful and all-knowing. So we are asking you this morning, give us wisdom and insight to understand your truth from these two chapters of 2 Kings. And we are asking you to engrave in our heart that we may live our lives according to that principle and precepts. We also pray for the President Obama's salvation, that he may truly come to know Jesus and do what is right in your sight. And we also lift up our troops around the world. We're asking you to protect them, and you're willing to bring them back safe and sound. And we pray for the uniformed personnel, the firefighters, and the law enforcement personnel, the Border Patrol and Sheriff Department deputies, and Sarita PD police officers. And especially lifting up the Merrill Simon and his crew in fighting against this extended wildfire season. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 14, or verse 1. Now we are going to find example number 1, Amaziah. Verse 1. In the second year of Joash, the son of the Jehoaz, the king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, I know it's confusing, but you can confer that the chart I gave to you, king of Judah became king. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like his father David. You might want to underline father and put the word ancestor. Not really daddy direct connection to himself, ancestor David. He did everything as his father Joash had done. Verse 4, would you underline verse 4, please? However, the high place was not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servant who had murdered his father, the king. But the children of the murderers he did not execute according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. But a person shall be put to death for his own sin. He killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt, and took the cell of the by word, called its name Jachiel, to this day. Then Amaziah sent a messenger to the Joash, the son of Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, the king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And the wild beast that was in the Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart was lifted up. Glory in that, and stay at home. And underline next phrase, please. Why should you meddle with the trouble so that you fall? Underline that and note that, please. You and the Judah with you. But Amaziah would not heed. Therefore, Joash, the king of Israel, went out. So he and Amaziah, the king of Judah, faced one another at Beth-Shemesh, which belonged to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, the king of Judah, the son of Joash, and the son of Ahaziah at the Beth-Shemesh. He went to Jerusalem, broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits, and you might want to write down 600 feet length, just for your information. And he took all the gold and the silver, all the articles were found in the house of the Lord, in the treasury of the king's house, and hostages, and returned to Samaria. As I mentioned before, that there were a handful of godly kings in the southern kingdom, that is Judah. And there were no godly kings in Israel, which is northern kingdom. With the exception of Hezekiah and Josiah in the southern kingdom, none of the kings would do anything. They would be bold enough to remove the high places. We've seen the high places that remain behind time after time, king after king. Why? What's these high places? According to Moses' law, the Jew were commanded to go to the temple to offer sacrifice to their God. For the sake of convenience, they started to offer sacrifice to the Lord from their own local high hilltop. You may wonder, what's wrong with having some convenience in worship? Folks, it's a matter of obedience. God says, come to Jerusalem, do it in the temple. And secondly, every time they started to worship in the high place, that high place turned out to be idol worship central. Throughout the land. Idol worship central. See, we worship our God in spirit and truth. If we get to have our own way to worship the way we want, it would turn out to be idol worship every time. Our life itself should be the worship to the Lord. As it mentioned in Romans 12, 1 and 2, but especially in verse 1. Let's go, keep your finger there and go to Romans 12, 1, please. Romans 12, 1. You there yet? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? Living sacrifice. That means our lives should be worship, continuing worship. Worship does not stop here when you stop singing. Your worship continues as you walk out the door, as you live day, each day, every day, Monday through Sunday. Every day. 24/7. There's no such a thing as I'm done with worshiping God. Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Reasonable service. God is not asking us to do something extraordinary. It's a reasonable service. Let's go back to this study. Now, we have to look into this, the Amaziah's idolatry. What did happen to King Amaziah that lost the war against Joash, the king of Israel? The book of 1st and 2nd King must be referred with 1st and 2nd Chronicle, otherwise we don't get the full picture. So keep your finger in the 2nd Kings and go to the 2nd Chronicle chapter 25, please. 2nd Chronicle, go to the right couple books, and there's the 2nd Chronicles, chapter 25. Verse 14, please. You got it? Okay. Now it was so that after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that... Note next two verses, please. Note that he brought the gods of people of Seir, set them up to be, what? His gods. And bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Verse 15, therefore the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah. He sent him a prophet who said to him, why have you sought the gods of Israel, which could not rescue their own people from your hand? So it was, as he talked with him, the king said to him, have we made you the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed? Then the prophet ceased and said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. Now the Amaziah, the king of Judah, asked advice and sent to the Joash, the son of Jehoash, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. God blessed Amaziah with a decisive victory against Edomite. Then what did he do after that? He picked up the idols, worthless idol from the Edomites, and brought it to his land, his palace, and set him up as a god. What kind of God he is worshiping over this, over the one true God? We must be extraordinarily careful after the victory in our lives as before the battle. We have to be careful. Actually, there are more temptations and more traps after the victory due to the feeling of euphoria and pride. Whenever you think that you did something good, spiritually or physically, and you're feeling good about it, look out. Look out. Especially those who are born again Christian not very long ago. Some of you are here. And all of a sudden, the things goes wrong in your life. There are spiritual attacks. There are the things financially you are going through a tough time, physically going through a tough time, all of a sudden the car breaks down. Why? Because we tend to lose guard. We tend to let the guard down. Folks, worshiping idol was a direct violation of the law of Moses, which was given by the Lord to the Israeli people. It's still against the Word of God. Because we are to love our God and serve Him only, no one else. Like the advice of the king Joash to Amaziah in verse 10, 2 Kings chapter 14. Let me read it one more time. Why should you meddle with the troubles so that you fall? We must learn not to meddle with any unnecessary things that cause us to fall. Okay? The definition of meddle from the dictionary, when I checked it, this is what it says. To handle something idly or ignorantly. How true. Then when we don't know what we are getting into, the best thing for us is not to get involved at all. If you don't know what you're getting into, don't get involved at all. Let me put this in a practical term. Please, everybody look at me. I know it's not pretty sight, but look at me anyway. Do not meddle with the horoscope. Do not meddle with the psychic hotline. Do not meddle with the palm reading or fortune telling. Any of those things. If they really know the future, why don't they just make themselves the billionaires through the stock market or win the, you know, pick the right number of the Powerball jackpot? Why do they still working on those psychic hotlines? And if you notice, the majority of the palm reading place is a crummy looking place. I saw one in San Diego. I saw one up in Tucson on the Grand Road. Do you know there are some people who actually don't get out of bed until they check out the horoscope for the day? Why would you trust unknown future with another human being? Why would you? Shouldn't you trust your unknown future with all-knowing God? Do not, let me repeat one more time, do not meddle with the things that is a demonic thing. These things are nothing more than deception and the gateway to the satanic path. Do you hear me? Don't get into the horoscope. Don't get into the palm reading. Don't get into the fortune telling. Don't get into the 1-900 psychic hotline hosted by Eric Estrada Dion. Bunch of washed out and the actors and the singers. Don't get in there. It's a satanic thing. We are not going to cover all the chapter 14 and chapter 15 because you guys read, right? So it covers 9 kings in the period of the 50 years. Out of 9 kings, 5 of them were assassinated. So it was a bloody time. There were actually, one king only lived, had the throne for about a month. I guess he was the king of the month. Verse 1 of chapter 15, please. He was good looking. He was Burger King king. In the 27th year of the Jeroboam, the king of Israel. By the way, you might want to make a note that this Jeroboam is Jeroboam II. It's not the first one. Azariah, the son of Amaziah, the king of Judah, then became king. He was 16 years old when he became king. How would you like to have your 16-year-old son become a king? Yes, that's what I was thinking. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zechariah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except that the high places were not removed again here. And the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. On the line, verse 5, first portion of verse 5, please. And the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death, so he dwelt in an isolated house. You might have to wonder why. What made him become a leper? And continues, and Jotham, the king's son, was over the royal house judging the people of the land. Azariah, you might want to write there in the Uzziah. He's also known as Uzziah. U-Z-Z-A-I-A-H. Uzziah. He was a very, very popular king and a godly king when he started. At the very beginning of his reign, Uzziah showed himself to be the true, faithful worshiper of God. Verse 5 showed us make us wonder why in the world this king became a leper when he was such a godly person. To find that answer, we have to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, please. It gives a full picture. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 16. Note this, please. When he was strong, what does it say? His heart was lifted up. In other words, he became prideful. He became haughty. To his destruction for his transgressors, he transgressed against the Lord, his God, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah, the king, the priest, went in after him. Now, this is Azariah is not the king, but this one is the priest. With him was 80 priests of the Lord, a valiant man, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had the censers in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead there he was a leprous. So they thrust him out of that place, and indeed he also hurried to get out, because the Lord has struck him. The bottom line was that Uzziah became prideful and haughty, and he conscientiously ignored what God told Israeli people not to do, especially for the king. King cannot be prophet and priest. Only one office. Priest was for the priest, prophet was for the prophet, king was for the kingship. They could not mix up, or they couldn't take the two offices. Exception of until the Messiah who fulfilled all three offices. Jesus Christ is the king of kings. He gave a complete prophecy, and he's the high priest. Okay? Uzziah came to the temple as an arrogant king, and he left as a humiliated leper. Until he died, he remained in an isolated place. So let's find the common denominators of these two kings. Amaziah and Uzziah both committed an act of arrogant ambition that brought the judgment from God. The truly humble person, please listen, truly humble person sees instead of things, it should be changed at himself and or herself as God sees them. Truly humble person sees themselves as the way God sees them and doesn't live in an illusion. Folks, listen up. Pride blinds the mind. Pride blinds the mind. Distort the vision and so inflate the ego that the person cannot tell the truth from the fiction because he starts to live his own mind, his own make-believe life and expect others to do so as well. Proverbs 16:18. You guys know that verse, but let's go there anyway. Proverbs 16:18. Only thing is, this verse has been quoted in the wrong way. Proverbs 16:18. A lot of people say that pride goes before the fall. No, actually, pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. Okay? That's a great warning for us. And then let's go to one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I know it's not in the slide, it's not in your sermon outline, no, but it's there. 10:12. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who think he stand take heed lest he fall. Folks, pride comes in many different shapes and forms. It comes to us just about any time, at any stage, especially when we are doing well. When God uses his people to do great things, those times can be most vulnerable and most dangerous time for them. Most vulnerable and most dangerous time. Let's say you went to the restaurant with your friend and you were chatting over the food and you started to talk about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden that your friend got saved. And the waiter who has been coming back and forth with the food, and he got saved. And the busboy got saved. And the people around you start to get saved. The chef who come over from the kitchen, he got saved. And he was thinking, wow, I'm good. I'm really spiritual. I think I should take over the Billy Graham since he's old. Maybe prideful. We may not go that far, but in our heart, I'm better than the other person. I'm better looking. Oh, I'm richer. I'm smarter. Folks, whenever you start to compare yourself with somebody else, that's the seed of pride. That's the seed of pride. Remember the second stanza of the song we sang not very long ago? Although you're beautiful. Here's the stanza, second stanza. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown. For my reward is giving glory to you. That should be our utmost goal, giving glory to God. Oh, how important for us to remember and do it every moment in our lives. We must admit that we have a tendency to blame God when the things go wrong because of our own fault. When the things go well, who gets the credit? Ourselves. We say, it's me, I did it. Or you say, you did it. Really? We have to be man and woman of God enough to admit our own fault for our own sins and give glory to God when the things goes well. Pride never give a good finish. Pride never give a good finish. Actually, it ruins every one of them. Hear me, please. I've seen many godly people, and I've read many godly people's story. I've heard many godly people's story as well. Those people started well, and some of them finished very well. And some of them will finish well. At the same time, there are many people whom I know personally didn't finish well. They derailed themselves. Did you notice the way I said they derailed themselves? It was not God derailed them. It was not Satan who derailed them. They themselves derailed them. And it gives a great opportunity for the enemies of God to use that occasion to blaspheme his name. I have a fear. It's not about the dying. It's not about getting sick. It's not about anything else. But I do know that I have this sinful nature just like any one of you. I don't trust that thing. It's inside of my heart that sinful nature will do anything to betray me, will do anything to cooperate with the enemy of God to derail me. I don't trust myself. Whenever, this is something I learned, when I was learning this, how to swim around 6, 7 years old, the person who taught me how to swim, he said, do not look at the where you're going. Look at the goal. Remember what the Bible says. Looking unto Jesus, who is the finisher, the author and finisher of our lives and faith. It is important for us to start right. It is important for us to start right. But it is absolutely imperative to finish well. It is important for us to start right, but it is absolutely imperative to finish well. One more verse, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We read it. We are going to memorize it. But let this be one more time in front of our eyes. Verse 7 and 8. I know we have several different versions, but let's read it together. Okay, let's read out together. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I'm going to finish this study with an illustration. Please, listen. During the medieval time, the group of actors and actresses were traveling around the country and showing their play to the people, performing their play. Crowd was getting thinner and thinner as the winter was approaching. Late afternoon, one actor said to the rest of the guys, you know, why don't we give money back to this small crowd and head home? They all nodded in agreement. And from the corner, the old actor said, if you must, let this be our best performance. So they did. It was their best performance. It was the zenith of their performance. The audience moved. The audience was touched. After the handful of the last group of audience left, and this old actor came back to the group, visually he was shaken. He was carrying a small piece of note in his hand. And the rest of the actors and actresses wondered what happened. And they quickly asked him, what happened? What's wrong? He opened up the little note and he started to read. And he said, that was the best performance I've ever seen in all my life. Thank you, your king. Folks, their king was visiting the nearby town and he came to the play in disguise. They didn't know. We live this life for the King Jesus Christ. We don't live for ourselves. We don't live for others. Certainly, we don't live for fame or entertainment. Let's finish well. Let me ask you this. If you are doing well, spiritually, physically, or whatever, give glory to God. It is not you who are making it happen. And if you are meddling with unnecessary things, if you are meddling with something that will cause you to derail, here's a word for you. Stop. Simple as that. Stop meddling. It will make you derail. And it will cause the enemy of God have a chance to bless him his name. If you have blown it, repent. you can come back to God. His arms open wide to receive you back to His hand, to His bosom. He will love you. He will restore you. But you must repent. If you are not born again Christian, you don't have a path. You don't have a path to the eternal life. You don't have a race to finish. I'm going to say bluntly, clearly, there is only one path for you. That is eternal death. So if you are not born again Christian, today is the day of salvation for you. Make a peace with God by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. Let's make four applications. Number one, we must remember that pride is the ground where all the other sins grow. Pride is the ground where all the other sins grow. Second application, we must be extraordinarily careful after the victory in our lives as before the battle. Actually, there are more temptations and more traps after the victory due to the feeling of euphoria and pride. Third application, we must learn not to meddle with any unnecessary things that cause us to fall. Fourth application, we must not waste any time to hide, ignore, excuse, or rationalize the reason why we get into sins. Rather, we need to go to the Lord directly and immediately to confess our sins and repent from it. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. And we thank you for loving us in spite of who we are, the sins we have. And thank you for forgiving us. Let us remember the principle and precept of your word, that we may continue the good fight, good race, that we may finish well. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.